This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Ah, 3 o'clock are out. By the way, every day I do that looky video, I try to do it from a different part of the house, John, a different part of the yard, a different part of the house. People keep track of it. It's the Venice Mace looky crowd, and it is growing every single day.
I don't know if I should admit this.
Yep.
I've never seen one of your
looky videos.
Oh, that's
bold. You've commented on it before. They're fantastic.
Okay.
So,
hey, Fredo made an appearance, right? Fredo made an appearance.
Yeah, Fredo made an appearance this week. Exactly. He's a good boy. That's a good dog right there. All right, so Jeannie Buss appeared on the Stephen A. What do we call this new Stephen A show? The ESPN Plus Stephen A show, right?
Right. Mason, do you know what? I'm interrupting you, but you know what today's the anniversary of? I have PTI on. I think you were at this game. When Duke upset UNLV, didn't you go with your dad?
I was at that game. It was in Indianapolis. I was with my dad. And
was on March 30th, I want to say 1990, 91 maybe?
Originally, our seats were with the old UNLV people, and their fans were like really old, rich people from Vegas.
Right.
Not a lot of kids. And we were like, this is really dull. So for the second half, we snuck over and got near the Cameron Crazy crowd and had a really good time. And Bobby Hurley hit that shot right in front of us, literally right in front of us.
How great is that?
It was an unbelievable night. And, you know, my dad and I bought a square of the floor. You know how you can do that?
Right.
We bought a square of the floor. So I've actually got a piece of the court from that night that my dad and I shared together, which was really cool.
There you go.
It was a great moment. Great moment. All right. So Jeannie Buss appeared on the Stephen A. Smith show, which is now on ESPN Plus.
It's called Stephen A.'s World.
There you go. Stephen A.'s World. Thank you. And she talked about, among other things, how it was important to restore her father's legacy.
It was important to restore the legacy that my father started. And that was to, you know, the first thing, putting Magic Johnson in place. And then because of that, being able to draw a player like LeBron James in free agency. We had struck out in free agency over the last few years, and we were slowly rebuilding through the draft, which is really difficult in any sport to play with so many young players. But getting LeBron James put us on the path to where we are today, and that's back at the top of the NBA in the conversations to be one of the best teams in the league and hopefully defend our trophy.
And that, by the way, she has restored her father's legacy.
Yeah, I think that she makes an interesting point there that most people look at the Magic Johnson episode when Magic came back as something that failed because he left. But without Magic, as Jeannie points out, they probably don't get LeBron. Yeah. I mean, Mitch and Jim had a chance to get those guys every year. And they were striking out left and right. Remember all the free agents? They couldn't get Dwight Howard to re-sign.
Oh, remember LaMarcus Aldridge because he didn't like their analytics
twice.
Approach.
They tried to convince Carmelo to sign. That turned out to be a good thing that he didn't sign. But when Magic came in, I think it gave LeBron the political cover to come to the Lakers.
Here is Jeannie on Steve Ballmer.
You know, the previous owner of the Clippers was a billionaire as well. So that really... You know, take that out of the equation.
Okay.
I was an advocate for Steve Ballmer. I met with him as he was thinking about bidding for the team, and I encouraged him to buy the team. You know, it's really important to me, the success of the league, and that we have people that are involved at team ownership levels who are committed to winning, committed to doing the right things to be successful. And I advocated for him, and I'm happy that he's a partner in this league. We've shared the market with the Clippers for over 30 years. It's really nothing new. He's got to run the team in the way that he sees fit, just as we run the team that we do.
You know, the one thing about Ballmer, and I make fun of Ballmer because he's crazy, but he's super engaged as an owner. He is truly a fan as an owner. The one thing I think he deserves credit for is this. Really, really smart people and I'm going to put him into this category. Hire really good people and let them do what they do. A lot of billionaires, and you don't have to look any farther than Dan Snyder, who we were just talking about from the Washington football team. They meddle. They're in it. They're forcing decisions. They're involved. Instead, Ballmer has just taken that team and said, his front office team, and said, you guys do what you need to do. And they have done it, and they've been as successful as a Clippers team can be. I mean, they're not going to get past the second round, but as successful as a Clippers team can be.
They're pretty good.
I still think, by the way, and they're on a six-game winning streak now, I still think that may be the toughest matchup that the Lakers get in the postseason.
So why wouldn't you think that the Lakers and Clippers will meet in the Western Conference Finals?
Well, because, John, I don't know if you've seen the standings and if you've seen the record and you've seen the way we're drifting down in the standings.
Right.
We wind up as the 6 and they wind up as the 3.
Yeah, but wait a minute. What if they wind up as the 2 or the 1? They could be
well,
the 1.
Well, and are we in the play-in tournament?
Not if we finish 6th, but if we finish 7th or
8th,
we
could absolutely draw them in the first round.
Yeah, it just depends how everybody falls, but I think that I would favor the Clippers to win. Okay, Utah Clippers, who do you favor?
Clippers.
All right, Clippers Denver. Who do you
Clippers.
Favor? Clippers Phoenix.
Clippers.
All right. Well, there you go. You just picked them to they can
right. I mean, I that's why I said I think they are the toughest test for the Lakers if they actually face.
Now, I don't agree with you when you say they won't get out of the second round. I think that they very easily could get out of the second round.
I mean, totally depends on how it lands. You could wind up playing the Lakers in the second round.
Yeah, true.
It's the way the Lakers are falling now, and you know it's going to be a struggle the next few weeks until guys start getting back. Let's. Here is Jeannie on LeBron and AD.
I'm looking forward to getting those two guys back. And certainly the addition of Andre Drummond, who we picked up in the buyout market, will certainly fortify a season where we've had to deal with injuries and COVID. Having Marc Gasol, who was our starting center, was out for several weeks with COVID and a really tough case that he's on a minutes restriction, even though he's back in the lineup. So, you know, every team's dealing with these kind of challenges, but I'm with you. I think LeBron will come back, you know, even better than he was before and ready for the challenge to defend the title. That's what's important, is that they get back healthy, 100% healthy before they come back so that they stay healthy for the playoffs.
So let me blessing in disguise this.
Okay.
Lakers had, 29 days between last season and this season?
44, I think, if I remember correctly.
44? Yeah. So a very short break. These guys, and I said it all along, I said, boy, I'm afraid LeBron's going to burn himself out. You know, this could be a blessing. The fact that these guys are missing some games. The fact that these guys are healing up. The fact that they are going to be fresher when they get back. They won't be on tired legs. This could be a blessing in disguise. What do you think?
Could be, but what I'm more worried about is that they get these guys back 100% healthy. I mean, we don't know what these injuries are. And then when they come back, they got to ramp up. So I'd rather not be dealing with them, but you know, if they are healthy, which is what the goal is to get those guys healthy, I don't know how you pick against them, especially now that they got Drummond to go along with LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
I mean, until they get to the finals where they might run into Brooklyn, wouldn't they be favored in every series?
Absolutely. If 100% healthy, favored in every series.
Even if they're the road team.
And I don't know who would be favored in a Brooklyn Lakers final.
Who has home court?
Well, obviously, it's going to be Brooklyn.
Then probably Brooklyn, but I'd still pick the Lakers. But Brooklyn will, to answer your question, Brooklyn will probably be favored. They'd have a deciding game 7 in Brooklyn, and statistically, they're the greatest offensive team ever built. But I just think the Lakers' defense and the fact that they have LeBron and AD, and then in a finals scenario, LeBron and AD would be playing 40 minutes plus. I think that puts the Lakers over.
By the way, isn't it the same thing with Kevin Durant? Like, you know, I've heard Sedano say, "Who Kevin Durant is he ever going to be Kevin Durant again?"
Well, like right now, no.
No, but I'm saying like the injury is mysterious. He's been gone for, I don't know, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, I have no reason to believe he's not going to be around for the playoffs. Am I going to say that he's never coming back to be the Kevin Durant that we know? No, he was great before he got whatever this injury is. I guess it's a hamstring. If you look at his stats with the Nets before he got hurt this year, he was the same old Kevin Durant. He was great.
Yeah, I just wonder. I also wonder because I traded for him on my fantasy basketball team, and he has absolutely destroyed me. Just destroyed me. Excuse me.
That was ridiculous.
One last thing from Jeannie here. Talking about fans in the playoffs.
We follow the LA County rules and restrictions, and we will do everything that they dictate. We want to keep our fans safe. That's important to us. But, you know, I'm a little bit jealous that the LA Dodgers are going to have fans for their opening game. And really the difference is being outdoors as opposed to indoors like we are. You know, what I'm hoping for is that we have the fans in time for the playoffs. That's really what's missing. I think it's been a challenge for our players to stay motivated at home. I think we actually have a better road record than we do at home. It's tough to play without that feedback, without that energy that the fans bring. And I believe the Laker fans are the best fans in the NBA. So we're missing a big part of our team when we don't have Laker fans in the building.
And I think it's coming pretty fast. I mean, you know, supposedly by May the 1st, the vaccine's going to be available to everybody. And tell me if this is callous or heartless on my part. Once everybody's got a shot at the vaccine and they decide to take it or not to take it, because there's going to be plenty of vaccine. If you don't get it and you get sick, that's on you. You could have taken the vaccine. Is that heartless?
Maybe, but I think some of the reasons why people don't take the vaccine is that they don't trust it. Lisa was.
But there's no reason. I mean, no government agency, nobody says you can't trust the vaccine.
I agree with you, and I'm taking it as soon as I'm eligible. You've already taken it, but
yes.
I'll tell you a story. I may have told you a story yesterday, but Lisa was doing some community service work, and she was handing out flyers.
Oh, that's very nice. What kind of community service?
Telling people where they could get the vaccine.
Good for her. That's great.
She was putting posters up over in Inglewood.
Nice.
And a woman walked up to her and goes, "You're not from here, are you? You don't live around here." She goes, "Well, I live like 15 minutes away." And she says, "Why don't you take those flyers and put them up in your neighborhood? That's poison. I don't want to take that."
That's a shame.
And Lisa said, "Well, it's really not, but I'll leave it up to you to do your own research." And she just kept going. But there are people that don't want to take it.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, if those people choose not to take it and everybody else has it, if they get sick, that's on them.
Right, but if not,
the world and society and the scientists and everybody did everything they possibly could do for them. But if they get sick, that'll be on them.
Yeah, I hope everybody takes it.
Me too.
I've done a lot of research on it, and it's the smartest thing you can do. And by the way, if you think this breaks on racial lines, I can get anybody that. I've read what Indian doctors have said about this, what African-American doctors have said about this, what Chinese doctors have said about this. It does not discriminate racially. You're better off taking the vaccine.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of vaccine hesitancy in the African-American community, which is something that, you know, hopefully will improve as we get further into this. But basically, John, if everybody's got access to vaccines by May the 1st, we're going to see, by the time we get to the finals, which I think will be in July.
Yep.
There's definitely going to be people in the building.
Yeah. And what were you the one saying earlier that we may see as many as 30,000 fans at Dodger Stadium within a couple of months?
Yeah. Within a couple of months, they should be at 30,000 fans at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, that's basically 50% capacity.
Yeah, that's a real crowd. That's an actual crowd. They're up to 11,000 for opening day. 11,000.
Hey,
They're up to close to 20,000 for opening day, which is great. And then the other thing that came out today, which is also positive news, and I'm especially excited about as a season ticket holder for the Rams, Roger Goodell told Adam Schefter, "We want to see every one of our fans back. We expect to have full stadiums in the coming season." Yes! Finally get to try out those seats at SoFi.
I wonder what the complete dome stadiums Are there any complete domes left? Minneapolis is, right? U.S. Bank in Minneapolis, I think, is complete dome.
Yeah, some of them can be domes, like Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta can be a dome stadium, but they can
close
it, too.
Right, but you can open it up. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any. Well, Superdome in New Orleans.
Superdome. But I don't think – I think we're going to ultimately be somebody points out in L.A. County, April the 1st, the vaccine will be available for people 50 and older, and then April the 15th, it's open to everybody 16 and up.
Yep, good.
So it's coming really fast. No, call me an optimist, but I think the world is going to slowly return to normal, and my Labor Day party is going to be the event of the year. The event of the year. The first big party of the post-pandemic era right here. And the booze is on me.
Excellent.
All right. What?
The booze is on you.
Oh, the booze is on me. Exactly. Who else? at least one person thinks... The addition, Lindsay, you've never been to my house for a party.
Nope, have not been there yet.
I'm telling you, these are some knockdown, drag out parties. These are some fun ass parties.
Do you think Lindsay will head over to the Anything Goes corner?
Oh, I wonder. Lindsay, will you go to the Anything Goes corner?
What's that?
There's always a corner
of
the party. There's always a corner of the party that people are engaging in cannabis and enjoying themselves. Will you be in the Pura Yesca section?
I mean, I'll mingle with everyone, but I'm not a big I'm not like a big drinker or anything. So
okay, but you'll mingle with the in the corner.
Yeah, for sure.
All right,
good. Everyone.
Good. There you go. All right, coming up next for you. Hey, big night tonight in Los Angeles. Big night. We've got two Elite Eight games involving Southern California, Los Angeles teams, SC versus Gonzaga, UCLA versus Michigan. We will have the UCLA-Michigan game for you right here on 710 ESPN at 6:50 p.m., 6:50. But what are the odds for USC and UCLA tonight, and is it possible that they meet in the NCAA Final Four? That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, it's happening, people. NCAA tournament strikes Los Angeles. First up, 4:15 today. The number 6 seed USC Trojans take on overall number 1 seed Gonzaga. The Zags are -9.5 in that game. They are the number 1 overall seed in the tournament. Then at 6:57 p.m. we'll have the game for you right here on 710 ESPN. The 11 seed UCLA Bruins, in a shocker that they've gotten this far after a play-in game, they've played one more game than everybody else. They will challenge number 1 seed Michigan. The Wolverines are -6.5. John, if I tell you one of those two teams is going to win, which one is it?
USC. I think they're built to play against Gonzaga, but if you told me I had to bet those games, I don't bet basketball because Michael and I get in trouble if we even about betting basketball. But if I had to bet those games, I would take the points in both games. I think the games are going to be close. So I would take USC and UCLA and the points and roll the dice.
You know, we all do our bracket challenge and we all run squirrely teams out to the Final Four and all that stuff. This is what I think is really interesting. So if these games hold up chalk tonight, if Gonzaga wins and if Michigan wins, the Final Four will be 1 seed Gonzaga, 1 seed Michigan, 1 seed Baylor, 2 seed Houston. After all the melee and ups and downs and crazy turns and shocker upsets and all that stuff, we could wind up with 3-1s and a 2.
Right. That's what I picked, by the way, 3-1s and a 2. I just picked the wrong.
Yeah, I picked the wrong Illinois ones, too. I had Illinois winning the whole thing. A lot of people had Illinois winning the whole thing. But I do think USC's got a real shot tonight. And you're right, it is a really good time to just lay on the couch and watch some hoops. Perfect night for that.
Yep.
Here is Jay Billis, who is a college basketball analyst, of course, for ESPN, on USC and its chances versus Gonzaga.
It's the nation's best offense in Gonzaga that averages over 90 points a game. They shoot over 50% from the field. They score 50 points in the paint, not because they throw the ball exclusively inside to their low post player, Drew Timmy, but because they cut so well, they get transition buckets. They get layups all game long, and they're going against, I think, the best defense, not only left in the tournament, but arguably the best rim protection in the country in Southern Cal. Evan Mobley's a big-time shot blocker. He blocks about three shots per game. He changes a bunch more. They're only giving up 41% from the field from two-point range. It is really difficult to get anything around the basket against USC because they cover up the rim from 12 feet and in. So the defense of USC going against the juggernaut offense of Gonzaga is going to be really compelling to watch.
Sounds like a silver bullet matchup to me. USC may have found the Achilles heel, or may play into the Achilles heel of Gonzaga. A great defense versus a team, and great rim protection versus a team that scores a bunch of points in the paint. That'll be the thing to watch tonight.
And I think the way UCLA stays in that game is that they don't turn it over. Mick Cronin had a stat that he gave the announcers the other day that they're 12-1 when they have fewer than 12 turnovers. Hmm. So if they can take care of the ball, they got a real chance there against Michigan, who likes to play fast.
Yeah. I got a hypothetical question for you.
Okay.
And this debate came up with a friend of mine, a weird sort of debate. Would you rather be extremely professionally successful and have an unexciting private life, or having an ordinary professional life and a fantastic private life? What do you value more, professional success or a fantastic private life? And by the way, this is an either or. You may say, oh, I have both. I've got Lisa and I've got my jobs and all that stuff. But
no,
if you have to choose one, great professional life or great personal life, which do you choose?
I think I would have answered this differently when I was in my 20s or my 30s.
Yeah.
When I was in my 20s or my 30s, I would have taken the professional one.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
But now that I'm older, screw that. You know, your job's not going to love you back. You know, you go for the great private
life.
That's
for sure. We work in radio. Job never loves you back.
There have been times in my career where I've thought I've literally poured everything into my job. And then I'll get feedback where people think, well, you're not doing this right, or you're not doing that right. And it's like, wow, your personal life you can control, you know. And so I would take the one where I have a solid job but have a great life away from work. How about you?
Yeah, me too. I would completely agree. I mean, my obviously my professional life is a mess. I do this stupid show every day. I'm stuck here for 17 years. I'm lucky that I've got a fantastic private life, a great relationship, and a great family, which includes dogs instead of kids. So, yeah, no, I would take that every day of the week. But you're right. When I was younger, I was so career obsessed when I was younger. It was impossible to have a relationship. I was so single-mindedly determined, overworked, crazy that there's no possible way that I could have a healthy relationship. Lindsay, what about you?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm at that age still where, like, that's really all I care about is work.
Your career?
Yeah, but yeah. I'm starting to, like venture over to the side where, like John said, like, your job doesn't love you back. And, like, tomorrow, you know, I could get fired. And most of the people, like, they're never going to even ask me how I'm doing. I mean, maybe aside from you guys. But, you know, most of the people that we work with on a daily basis, that's how jobs go.
I would check in with you.
Well, and then the other thing is you can, in terms of your work life, you can do everything right. And this was exceptionally true during the pandemic. You can do everything right.
Yeah.
And be great at your job and still get fired because of circumstances beyond your control.
Way beyond your control. You're absolutely right.
And so if you've got, you know, some other things to live for, then I think that's a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, you will survive it if you have a private. What you don't want to have is a professional life that goes south and no private life to.
Right, and I've seen that. I've seen that movie.
Yeah, that's a bad
movie. It gets very ugly very fast.
Yeah, that's a very bad movie. Very bad movie. All right, hey, we've got John. these super cool bobbleheads. And they really are their world championship Dodger bobbleheads. And I'm trying to see if I've got a picture. Do I have a picture of these things? They are fantastic. They're fantastic.
We'll get you one to tweet out.
Yeah, get me one to tweet out. We're going to give away a Corey Seager bobblehead coming up next. It's a championship bobblehead.
We're giving it away for free?
Yeah, we're going to give it 877-710-ESPN. Give me like four guys. We'll play a little stupid game to win the Corey Seager bobblehead. Opening day, of course, is Thursday for the Dodgers. Mason Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yay! It's like Dieter Ruhle is in the background. The Dodgers open Thursday at Colorado. That is the opener. It's at 1:10 p.m. our time, so we will give you play-by-play, pseudo-play-by, fake play-by-play. We'll keep you up to date on the game. And then the home opener is Friday, April the 9th at Dodger Stadium against the Washington Nationals. And we have got a really cool, I just tweeted out a picture of it, a really cool World Series-style Corey Seager bobblehead that we're giving away right now in celebration of opening day. And it is courtesy of FOCO USA. That's F-O-C-O USA. You can check them out at FOCO.com, your one-stop shop for all of your team's merchandise. And I think we've got people lined up to play, John.
We do. Here's Chris in Riverside. Hey, Chris, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up?
How's it going?
Good.
Going great, Chris.
All right, Mace, what's he got to do?
Okay, Corey Seager led the league in doubles in 2019. How many did he hit closest without going over?
How many doubles, Chris?
44.
Okay, stay on the line. Here's Art in Camarillo. Hey, Art.
How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing? How many doubles for Corey Seager in what year, Mace?
2019.
Need a guess, Art.
I'm gonna say 48.
Okay.
48.
Hang on. John in Chino. Hey, John. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, John.
How many doubles for Corey Seager in 2019?
40.
40.
Okay.
One more.
Here's Steve in Gardena. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How many doubles for Corey Seager in 2019?
Give me 49.
49.
All right, Mace.
The correct answer. Who was the very first caller?
Chris in Riverside said
Chris
44.
Chris in Riverside. 44 is the exact number of doubles Corey Seager had in 2019 to lead Major League Baseball. And I don't think that was Googled. It was too quick to be Googled,
yeah,
don't you think?
Yeah, he didn't have enough time to Google. That was good.
He was the very first guy. He nailed it.
All right, man. So Chris gets the win and picks up the bobblehead. And what's that website if people want to check it out?
If people want to check out, it's FOCO, F-O-C-O.com. Actually, got really cool stuff on that website. Check it out. I'm ready for baseball, man. And you know what's always been for me? The NCAA tournament, it's always been the sign that baseball's about to start. There's something about that. That two-step. You go NCAA tournament, and you know right at the end comes baseball. And I am ready for Major League Baseball.
Baseball.
Baseball. Baseball.
People baseball.
Will come, Ray. People will come. The great James Earl Jones. And the best.
People will come, Ray.
There you go. People will come, Ray.
Baseball.
Baseball. Happens on Thursday. And I could not be more excited. Now, Bill Plaschke was on here a little while ago. Bill is a great friend of ours, really cool guy. Wrote a column predicting the Dodgers would win 116 games. We brought him on to say, hey, slow your roll, old man. This is a real challenge in the National League. The Dodgers, I think, will win 100 games, but they're not going to win 116 games. To me, that's a pipe dream. And if I look at the team and I think about what's the potential weakness going to be, John, what do you think the weakness of the Dodgers is?
Back end of the bullpen, closer. I think they can get through the seventh and eighth innings, but if they're counting on Kenley Jansen to be the closer, that's a roller coaster ride. I think that they've got to that, – that's what I'd be worried about.
And it's the moment he starts converting saves, you'll be okay with him?
The saves
– You've just written them off. It doesn't even matter if he pitches well.
Well, but wait a minute. You always say players are either getting better or getting worse. Which one is he?
Well, sometimes, John, it doesn't work like – sometimes guys have longer primes. It looks like Kenley Jansen rediscovered something during spring training because his velocity's back up. He was hitting 93, 94. Last year, he was in the high 80s. So it may be that last year, COVID did take a toll on Kenley Jansen. He never came back. Although he was the relief pitcher of the month in August, he just fell apart in September. I still think the Dodgers, I think their weakness is going to be they're missing a left-handed bat to platoon with A.J. Pollock in left field. Pollock, I would imagine, is going to play most days. Zach McKinstry, who's coming up through the organization, is a guy who I think is going to wind up in left field some of the time. He's a left-handed hitter. He's going to be like your Kike Hernandez. But I think they will miss Jock, and I think they will miss Kike. Those are the two players. Those are the two players that are not coming back from last year's team. Pitching-wise, I think they're just friggin' loaded. And I love the back end of the bullpen. I think Gonzalez, along with Trinan, and Kenley is a great back of the bullpen, and you've got guys now in that bullpen. I was a little surprised. Dennis Santana did not make the team, and instead it was Scott Alexander that made the team. I don't think he played last year. I don't think he pitched last year. But I think the weakness is going to be that left field bat, somebody to spell A.J. Pollock. But I'll tell you what, the team is really, really good. It's going to be really fun to watch. And it makes me laugh, all the people, all the texts and tweets and Instagram messages I got over the years about how Andrew Friedman, you know, is this and he's that and his analytics and has ruined the team and all that stuff. They win the World Series and all of a sudden those people completely disappear as they should have. He's the state-of-the-art baseball operations guy there is, and we've got him, and we've had him for a long time, and we're going to win another division title, and we're absolutely loaded.
I think that the Dodgers are an overwhelming favorite to win it, but there's a handful of teams I think could beat them. I think the Mets may be really, really good. I think the Braves were up 3-1 on the Dodgers last year. They could do it. The Cardinals always seem to have the Dodgers number, and now they have Nolan Arenado to go on the other corner where Paul Goldschmidt is already playing first. I mean, there's teams out there that could – you always say once the playoffs start, it's a crap.
Oh, well, no, I'm talking about the regular season. The playoffs are a completely different animal. I mean, the first 162 games are one thing. The last 11 wins are the really tough ones to come by, and there's no guarantee the Dodgers will win the World Series. I think they're going to have an unbelievable season. I think they're going to roll up big numbers this year. I think they're going to be incredible. But you start those last three series, and it's a completely different ballgame. You're going to face a wild card who could be hot coming out of that game. Wild cards win the World Series like we saw Washington do 2 years ago. No, I mean, once you get to those final 11 wins, it's really tough. There's no guarantee that the Dodgers will win the World Series. I am prepared to guarantee they will win the National League West, though.
Okay, so Bill Shakin has just posted an article at the LA Times.
Yeah.
That says the Angels are going to put additional tickets on sale tomorrow, and the Dodgers are going to be up to 20,000 pretty quick. The Angels can sell 14,800 tickets. That's a little bit up from 9,010. And the Angels are going to put an additional 5,000 tickets on sale for each home game, including opening day tomorrow. So the Dodgers can sell 11,200 and then 18,000 in the orange tier. But because of social distancing, they're projecting between 13 and 14,000 to start. Season ticket holders get a pre-sale for additional seats followed by the general public. So there's going to be north of 10,000 fans in both ballparks.
Yeah, which is fantastic. And I guess I didn't win tickets. Is that what's going on? The Dodgers.
I think they offered them all to season ticket holders first.
No. They offered them to the general public.
Yeah, they had like a raffle for the opportunity to buy just opening day tickets. And I didn't get an email or anything about it.
Email either. I wonder, the opening day is not till the 9th, so maybe they haven't done it yet. But I did register to win one of those, or I think I registered for four of those tickets for opening day. But I don't think they've revealed the results of that lottery yet. Not yet, anyway. But yeah, that's great news. Everything's moving in the right direction. I'm so optimistic right now. So optimistic. Feeling great.
All right, speaking of optimistic.
Yeah.
I need to win this game of games or my winning streak is over. I've won like 4 or 5 months in a row. But Lindsay can knock me out. It's your game today, right?
Correct.
All right, so I
John, you've won 8 months in a row.
Okay, I need to win this game or my dream dies because Lindsay's 3 ahead of me, right?
You've got 7 and she's got 10, yes.
So I need to win this, which would take me to 9.
And then win Lindsay's game tomorrow.
Is her game, and I could pass her. But if anybody other than me wins this, then Lindsay is the month of March champion.
You're right. And tomorrow is the 31st.
Right.
If you win today, I'm going to make tomorrow's game especially hard.
I would do the same thing.
Yeah,
I'll do name that tune because I feel like you're not as good at that.
Play every advantage
you
can.
Wait a minute. Did you just say I'm not
at that? No, that one you are good at. Jason is really bad at it.
I absolutely crush anyone Morales.
Nope, I beat you in it. Beat you in it a couple times.
Oh, I think you just jinxed yourself, Lindsay. Oh,
yeah.
I'm going to name that tune. I will go against
you. A little hot.
Listen, if they had a game show that was like name that tune, I would be on it.
You know what
you
should do? You should go on the actual game show called Name That Tune, which is on TV right now.
Yeah, no, I didn't know it was still going.
Hosted by Jane Krakowski.
They just started again.
Sign me up. I need to be on that show. I would win it all.
All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games, Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yes, it is Game of Games time, and it is brought to you by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. They are our plumber, and they want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. All right. So this is a dramatic game. Ireland, in the month of March, has won 7 times. Lindsay, a chance to close it out today. She's won 10. Michael Thompson won 4. Me 2, Jorge 2, Ramona 2. I'm tied with Ramona. How sad is that? All right, it's Ireland, Lindsay, and Jorge. The game is called Size Matters.
Okay.
So I will you'll get the hang of this really quick. It is a guess. It's a multiple choice. Okay.
Got it.
So what is taller? The height of a stack of dollar bills equal to the U.S. debt or Mount Everest? Which is taller, Ireland?
I'm going to go the debt.
The debt. Lindsay?
I agree. The debt.
The debt. Jorge?
I'll go Everest.
Everest, you should have gone with the crowd there.
Ah.
The U.S. debt would be 1.146 miles high. Mount Everest only 20 miles high.
Cash money.
Thank you, LeVar.
By the way, it's 1.146 million miles high. That's how bad the debt is. All right. What is greater, the age of the Redwood Forest or the age of the La Brea Tar Pits? Lindsay, it's to you.
I feel like the La Brea Tar Pits. Oh, no, but the Redwood Forest has all those
really big trees.
Yeah, but they have something else there. You're not supposed to take with you the rocks, right?
The rocks.
Sure. I'll go with the tar pits.
The tar pits. Jorge.
Tar pits.
Tar pits, Ireland.
I'm going to take this as an opportunity and go with the Redwoods.
You should have gone tar pits. It's not even close. The Redwood Forest is about 1,500 years old. The tar pits, 11,000 years old.
Oh, yeah. They have dinosaurs in that thing.
So it is Lindsay 2. They're pretend, by the way. Lindsay 2,
Mammoths. I have Mammoths.
Ireland 1, Jorge 1. Those are pretend dinosaurs
real.
Now. Sorry. Didn't mean to take the mystery out of it for you.
You know, on the show, Land of the Lost, just kidding, sorry.
Yeah. All right. Which is greater, the weight of Warren Buffett's net worth in pennies or the weight of the Titanic? The weight of Warren Buffett's net worth in pennies or the weight of the Titanic? Jorge, it's to you.
I'll go Buffett.
Buffett, Ireland.
I think you would ask it differently. I think it's Buffett. You wouldn't come up with something this weird. It's Buffett.
Buffett. Okay. Lindsay.
I think it's Buffett because I recently read something about the Titanic saying how they cheaped out on the metal and used this really thin steel. So that's why I think that.
Okay. The weight of the Titanic, 53 tons. The weight of Warren Buffett's net worth in pennies, 67.3 tons. So it is money. Warren Buffett.
It's my guy, so Warren Buffett.
Lindsay, right. 3, or A and I, 2.
What is greater, the length of the DNA of a single human cell stretched end to end, or the height of John Stewart? The length of the of a DNA cell stretched end to end, or the height of John Stewart, which is greater? It's back to Ireland.
DNA cell.
DNA cell. Lindsay.
I'm going to guess John Stewart.
John Stewart and Jorge.
I'll say Stewart.
I'm sorry. The correct answer, and Ireland is on this, a DNA cell about 5 feet 9 inches. And John Stewart is only 5'6".
Yeah. Oh, dang it.
Excuse me. All right.
All right, Lindsay and I are tied. How many more of these do you have?
I've got 2 more.
Okay. These are critical.
Wait. By the way, this is what Chewy thinks of your game. Hang on. Oh, never mind. He woke up. Okay. He's snoring pretty loud.
All right. Which is greater, the number of Twitter followers for George Sedano or the number of Twitter followers for John Ireland? Lindsay.
I'm going to guess Sedano.
Sedano. Jorge.
I'm going to go with Ireland.
Ireland.
I'm going me, Ireland.
It's all you all yeah. day. 126,000. Jorge, or George, has got 79,900. Okay. All right, so it's Ireland 4, Lindsay 3, Jorge 3.
This is it, right?
This is it.
Okay.
Which is greater? The number of stars in the Milky Way or the number of dollars in Jeff Bezos' bank account? Number of stars in the Milky Way or number of dollars in Jeff Bezos' bank account? Ireland, you are leading, so you have to go first. Which is greater?
I'm going to go Bezos.
Bezos. Lindsay.
Definitely the stars.
Stars. Jorge.
I'm going to go with the stars.
Stars, and we are all even.
Oh, man.
There are 400 billion stars in the Milky Way, and Jeff Bezos is worth 180 billion. So not really that close. All right, so we're all tied. This is
and everybody's in it, right? Everybody has four?
Yeah, everybody's even. Everybody.
What is greater, the distance to the center of the Earth or the total length of the Nile River? Distance to the center of the Earth, total length of the Nile River. We will start with Ireland.
Didn't I go first? Oh, well, everybody's tied, right?
Everybody's tied.
That's tough.
I'm going to go distance to the center of the Earth is longer.
Distance center of the Earth. Lindsay.
Well, I'm trying to think of miles and all that. I want to say the same thing, but I'll do the opposite of John just because I want to try and win.
Right, okay.
So you're going Nile. Jorge?
I'm going with the center of the Earth.
The winner is Lindsay Fulton.
What? Lindsay, way to go.
The distance to the center of the Earth is 3,956 miles. The length of the Nile River is 4,132 miles.
Wow.
Lindsay, that gives, you snapped my win streak.
Lindsay has won the month of March. Congratulations,
Lindsay. If I would have gone first, I would have got it wrong.
And now that means Lindsay's game tomorrow. We can start April.
Yeah, we'll start April. Don't you think the way I conduct games, don't you think I would actually be good on Jeopardy?
No, yeah, you don't, because you lose any of these games,
no,
though.
No,
you're
I lose them, but I'm talking about the way I moderate a game, the way I run a game.
You could replace Alex Trebek?
Yes.
Well, you know, they are taking guest auditions.
The ratings are falling apart. Did you see that?
Yeah, but that was – the ratings for everything are falling apart.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying first it was the guy who I used to work with at Reels Channel. I can't remember his name. He's the producer of the show, and the ratings dipped. Then Katie Couric came in. The ratings dipped even more. Now Dr. Oz came in. People are ticked off because Dr. Oz is kind of a quack doc. I don't know why they're letting a quack doc host Jeopardy, but people are upset about that. And upcoming ones include Aaron Rodgers. And
I bet the ratings will go up for that.
Mayim Bialik. Those are the two that I saw coming up.
What's wrong with her?
I never liked her ever since she was on Blossom.
So you didn't like her on Big Bang?
I don't watch that show.
Boy,
that
she's
show
had a good career, hasn't she? Maya Bialik, from Blossom to Big Bang to, I guess, this show she's doing now is a hit. The one about the cats. Hard to
she's
believe.
She's on a show about cats?
Yeah, she owns a cat. She calls it a cat cafe.
Cat cafe, yeah, I did see previews for that. You're right.
Stupid. I'm not watching that show under any circumstances.
All right, everybody call it. Mace, who wins? USC Gonzaga.
Give me USC for the upset.
All right, UCLA Michigan.
Give me UCLA to keep it close.
Oh, that's not very nice. I think they both win. UCLA and USC both win. Now watch, we're going to have to come here tomorrow, and I might be exactly wrong. It'll probably be the opposite, but man, I'd love to see him pull it off.
Lindsay, what about you?
My bank account is rooting for both USC and UCLA. Right. I got that parlay ticket for $5, remember?
And now if you hit it, what do you need to win the
so
whole parlay?
I did two separate ones. One is just for USC to win it, or UCLA to win it all, and then I did another one that was $5 for UCLA and USC to make it to the Final Four. And I think I win like $500 if I win that.
Wow. All right,
$5.
So tomorrow we'll wrap those games up for you. And Giannis in town for his one visit to Staples Center for the Lakers and Mace. Andre Drummond will play. Frank Vogel said that today. I don't know if we mentioned that during the show, but Andre Drummond will play for the Lakers and make his debut in purple and gold tomorrow night.
Plus, O'Shea Jackson will be with us at 2:15 tomorrow. He is newly cast in the brand new Obi-Wan series on Disney Plus. He is part of the Star Wars franchise, which is crazy. And of course, huge Lakers fan. We'll get into tomorrow night's game with him. Hey, thanks everybody for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We do appreciate you checking in on our stupid show every single day. Mason and Ireland in the books for today. Go Trojans. John, go ahead and say go Bruins. I can't say that phrase.
What's wrong with you?
Say
it. UCLA. UCLA. Fight, fight, fight. Let's go.
All right. Sedano, LZ, Cap next. 710 ESPN.